I just pray that this morning as we look into your word, I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would lead us and guide us and open up our eyes to the truth of your gospel. And Lord, that I know that your word really opens our hearts up, that we'll be able to see and to surrender whatever it is that you want us to surrender, to learn to also apply your word to our lives, not just be hearers of your word, but become doers of your word. And so, Lord, I pray that we become doers of your word and apply your word to our lives, and to allow your Holy Spirit to work in our lives as we yield to you more and more all the time. Lord, I just thank you. Amen. I'm going to read actually Romans 1 to 7. Did I put that on the board? Oh. So we could read Romans. Chapter 7. One to seven. Maybe one to six, I think. Okay. So, or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. Verse 3. So then if, while her husband lives, she marries another man, she would be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who has raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions were aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve the newness of the Spirit and not the oldness of the letter. And I think as we read the word, I shared how it's really speaking of Christ and how he died. Because once we become a follower of Christ, we become his bride. And so in order to Jesus fulfilled the law, and so he died and fulfilled the law, and so we were married to the law before Christ. Law had dominion over us. It showed us we were sinful, that we needed Christ, that we fell short of the glory of God. Right? This is just a summary of it. But the beautiful thing is now we're married to Christ as a follower, as a believer. So comes a new life. So the law does not have dominion over us. So we don't have to fulfill the desires of the flesh. Does that make sense? But often we do. And sometimes we feel, wait, what kind of believer am I if I'm always continuing sinning and fulfilling the flesh? There's a remedy. And what's that remedy? Jesus. You notice when we become very legalistic and we become I need to follow the law a lot more and more. Do you realize that you become more, you sin more? Because you're trying to fulfill the law? Jesus fulfilled the law. So our tendency sometimes is, I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to do this. I need to live this way. I need to do this. You know, we list off and all these things that I got to do. What happens? The opposite. We sin more. We like, I need to do this, I need to do that. So we sin more. Right? We're not trusting God. We're doing it in our own strength and saying, I need to do this. I need to stop swearing. I need to stop lying. I need to stop doing whatever it is. Instead of saying, Lord, I thank you that you're showing me areas in my life where I'm falling short. See the difference? He's revealing to you the sinfulness. The law shows you the sinfulness. But the mercy of God, he's the one who empowers you to overcome those things. Hopefully that. Because when we try to do things on our own strength, we become worse. We try to do it. Then we get frustrated. Then we throw up our hands and we want to quit. Because we just won't, because we can't do it. You know, because of Jesus died, and we died with Christ, we're free to be married to Christ. We're no longer bound by the law. The law still is in effect. The law is still holy. The law is not nullified. But now we're under grace. But it doesn't give us the ability to just go out and live however we feel like living. But we're called to a higher standard. So because of the death of Jesus, people are free to join Christ as his bride. Believers in Christ are no longer answerable. We're no longer answerable to the law. Who are we responsible to now? Who do we give an answer to? Jesus. So now if we have to give an answer to Jesus, right? Because on the day, we will all face Jesus. All believers will face Jesus and give an account for how we live. Isn't that, it's kind of, in a way, that's sobering. If you say you're a follower of Christ and you think, I'll just live however I want, know this, that you one day we will all face individually the throne of God. And he will ask you, I'll give an account. He'll show him an account of my life. How come you did this? Why did you do that? And I'm just like, wow. Did I really love you when I did all these things? You know, it's amazing when you become a believer, you have, what happens when you become a believer? Does life get easier? So when you're a non-believer, is life pretty easy, Missy? Life as a non-believer, is it easier or harder? Is it easier or harder than a believer? Life as what? Harder as what? Okay. How about if you're a non-believer, life is easier because now you're not at war with your flesh. You can live and fulfill whatever you want. You don't answer. You think you don't have to answer to anybody. As a non-believer, there's no turmoil in my life because I can just live however I want. Right? We are fulfilling our flesh. We do these things to fulfill our desires. We do these things to make myself happy. But when we become a believer in Christ, now there's a war happening. There's turmoil because our flesh wants to do one thing, right? And then your spirit has been renewed and it wants to do the things of God. Does that make sense, right? There's war, there's an enmity in our lives. Of, you know, the flesh wants to do one thing and our spirit really wants to follow God. So which one do we feed at times? And why is it easier to follow the wrong one? Well, would it become to your habits? You're familiar with it. And you also, you have grown, you have a built habits. Have you ever tried to change a habit? You know, you change a habit of, I want to wake up earlier every day and spend time with the Lord. And how does that work out? Or that I don't want to do certain things. I want to do something different to my life. I want to exercise. I want to eat healthier. And so we have all these good intentions, but there's the flesh is weak, and yet the spirit is willing. So which one do we want to fill? Which one?
Even after the recovery, their parts are easier to pay a bill than they are to pay the next person.
Correct. Yeah, I know, right? So, in verse 4, because even, so Paul gives an illustration of using marriage to show us how we once were married to sin. We were married to sin, right? Because we are now born again, we're no longer married to sin, but married to Christ. Then that marriage was dissolved because of Jesus. So we're no longer bound to the sin. Now we're married to Christ. That's who we belong to. That's who our spiritual husband is. Christ wants us to understand the relationship we have with him. And as we read through Revelation or Romans 7, it's like, how do we live for Christ? Right? How do we live for Christ? And how do I live for Christ? How I ought to live for Christ? But, you know, it shows you, sometimes when we do things in our flesh, we beat ourselves up. Right? And we shouldn't beat ourselves up. I'm not trying to condemn anybody. But it shows you, when we try and do things in our own strength, we know we fail. If we're trusting the Holy Spirit, verse 6 talks about how the Holy Spirit enables you, who empowers you. It's like trusting the Lord to work in your heart, to change you, to change the way you're thinking, your perspectives, your behaviors. That he reveals to you what needs to be dealt with. It's not you saying that I need to stop doing this. It's me saying that, Lord, I thank you that you're revealing this in my life. That I know that you don't like this, don't approve of this. And I'm going to give this to you. I'm going to surrender this to you. And Lord, I know it might get ugly. It might feel shame because I've done this for so long. But Lord, I pray that you would, you know, just help me to overcome this, to have this new behavior, to change these bad habits. Because there is a war, and we're facing these wars. As a believer, we need the Holy Spirit to transform you. You need the Holy Spirit to empower you. So when we recognize that when we are in our own strength, we're going to fail. We're going to give up. I know it's spread like Ephesians 5, it says, you know, Jesus is the husband. He gave himself up for us to make us holy, cleanse her from by washing with the water through his word. His word refreshes us. It cleanses us. And now as the church submits to Christ, are we submitting to our husband? I know in our own, if you look at who's married, you know, if like you say, well, my wife doesn't submit to me. Or my husband doesn't love me as Christ. But spiritually, we can look at in our own lives, Do I love my wife as unto Christ? Am I willing to die for my wife? Is my wife really one to submit to the authority that God has given me to be the headship of the house? If there's a disconnect, you have to ask, maybe that's how my relationship right now with the Lord is. That I'm not submitting to Him. I'm doing things in my own flesh. You know, Christ loves us and cleanses us from all our sin. He redeems us and sanctifies us. And as we are followers of Christ, we will submit to Christ, for He is our Savior. In verse 4 to 5, it says, "So, my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another." So we have died, right? And that we may bear fruit to God. What kind of fruit does God want us to bear? What kind of fruit does God want us to bear? Well, the Holy Spirit is the one. What's the fruit that the Holy Spirit bears in our lives when we are surrendered to Him? Obedience? Yeah. So we can see that if we're not bearing the fruit of God in our lives, we may say, why am I not bearing those fruits? It's like a reality. It's like, Lord, am I truly love you? Am I truly surrendered to you? Am I allowing your fruit to be exhibited in my life? Because if you say you're, you know, as a follower of Christ, people who don't know Christ should be able to see that fruit being exhibited in our lives, right? You shouldn't have to be saying that I'm a Christian or I'm a follower of Christ. You should be able to say, they should be able to see that fruit. So if we continue to live by the law, right? If we continue to live by law, there will be no fruit. Because when you're trying to fulfill the law, there's no fruit in it. It's death. And where is life found? In Christ, in liberty, by His grace and mercy. And He changes your heart. He changes your perspectives. So God saved your soul so that you can do the work He has called you to do. So we have He has a purpose for you. So what kind of work has He called you to do? We know that He saved us from eternity in hell, so that we can be a tool used in for His glory, and so that He can be glorified in our lives. I wrote this quote down, I don't know, it was in my Bible, and it says, grace is God giving the greatest treasure to the least deserving. I think we're all the least deserving. It's God's grace that He bestowed to us. When we surrender to Him, He chose you. He has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. He desires for all of us to grow in Him. He desires you to be used, and He equips you to live this life. So, the whole reason for being a follower of Christ is to bring glory to God by bearing His fruit. So we're going to look at John 15, 7 to 8. So it says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done." Verse at the beginning, if you abide in me. There's a qualifier there. You have to abide in Christ. If we're not abiding in Christ, And my words, if his words do not abide in you, you cannot ask what you desire. But if you're abiding in Christ and his words abide in you, then you can ask whatever you desire. And what is our deepest desires? Mine is the desire to know Christ even more. But am I abiding in him? Am I doing my own thing? Is his word abiding in me? Am I living and applying his word to my life? Those are the questions that sometimes we have to ask ourselves. Am I truly abiding in Christ? Is his word abiding in my life? So that his fruit is growing in my life. And so the only way you can abide in him and abide in his word abiding is you by yielding to the Holy Spirit. To allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life. To surrender to him. That's the only way we could actually abide in him. Surrenderness. And to say, Lord, I can't do this. I need you to help me. But this is my fault, so that my Father is glorified. Our lives should be, our desires should be glorifying our Heavenly Father. That you bear much fruit. So that you would be my disciples. Bear much fruit so you reveal that you're his disciples. It's a process. So don't beat yourself up if you're falling short. It's like, Lord, I thank you that your word is opening me up and revealing where I'm doing this in my own strength. So Ephesians 2:10 says, For we are his workmanship. You know that carpenter when you make something? Right? You think about a house, he's the carpenter. Christ is the carpenter. So he's working, he's making it. So we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And sometimes we don't want to walk in them because we have our own desires and we want to do our own thing. So we're not abiding in Christ, nor are we allowing the Word of God to abide in us. So it's like, Lord, why not? Where I'm not surrendered to you. Don't you love the Word of God that really opens us up and say, you know what? I want you to trust me. I want you to surrender to me. I want you to rely on me and have faith in me. Not in your own abilities. Who wants to read Hebrews? One of the boys. Who has a mic in their hand? To read Hebrews 13, 20 to 21.
From the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
It's amazing. He's making you complete. You notice that I is not in that? It's not me making myself complete? It's his Holy Spirit that's making you complete. He's the one that is helping you to become who he wants you to become as we surrender to him. So no longer trying to fulfill the law in our own strength, but to live under his mercy and his grace and say, Lord, I desire these things. My soul desires to fulfill what you have for me. I don't want to live for my flesh anymore. So as we read, what's Galatians 5:13? Who wants to be the next gentleman over there to read Galatians 5:13? I even have it on the board for you if you want to read that. Jackson? Yep.
For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an... what does it say? Occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another.
Amen. With mercy, with God's grace, we have liberty now. We have freedom. Does that make sense? But not to live however we want. Not to go out and just continue to sin. But we have liberty to actually live. To have a liberty to live a life that honors our Father. How about Galatians 5, 16 to 18?
This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry, 18. Sorry.
But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law.
Man. Are we being led by the Spirit? Only you could answer that question. Are we being led? Are we yielding to the Holy Spirit? How about Galatians 5, 22 to 26? Yeah. Yeah, so the world, yeah, doesn't. It offers, pretends to give you freedom. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the Holy Spirit leads you. Right? If you know, if the Holy Spirit really prompts you not to do something, if we are in tune to what the Holy Spirit, are we yielding to the Holy Spirit? Right? If the Holy Spirit's prompting you not to do something, we need to listen. We need to put the brakes on and say, you know what? Maybe right now I'm moving into an area that I'm trying to fulfill things in my own life, in my flesh. Because often, sin feels good, right? Why does sin feel good? Because it's fulfilling the flesh what the flesh wants. And where you're like, boy, it sure feels good. But then after you sin, you're like, this guilt comes. It's like, I knew better. And why did you know better? Because the Holy Spirit's like telling you, you don't need this. And you repent and say, Lord, forgive me of my disobedience. Forgive me for quenching the Holy Spirit. Forgive me for not listening to your Holy Spirit. Forgive me of rebellion. That's what happens, is rebellion. Because you think you know better than the Holy Spirit. We think we know better. And sometimes we allow our flesh to get in the way, and it's like, I don't want this. I don't desire this. Right? That's why You know, it's so important to be in the Word of God. Allow the Word of God to continue to renew you, to refine you, to strengthen you, to develop you, so that when these temptations come, you'll run away from them. Right? So who's going to read? Thank you, Anna. Galatians 5:22. Who's going to read that one?
But the fruit of this.
Just put the switch up. Okay. This up.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law.
Mm-hmm. Amen. What else is important to bear fruit in our lives? What about prayer? You know, prayer is very vital to our spiritual life. Prayer is vital for us to bear fruit, God's fruit. Without prayer, so communication with the Lord, if you don't have prayer, if you lack prayer in our lives, if we don't have prayer as a priority in our life, you will be... So if prayer is not vital in your life, if you don't, you know, don't pray, you know, my prayer is like, Lord, help me win this bike race today. Amen. Right? Lord, give me the abilities. But that's one type of prayer. But it's like, Lord, help me to grow in you. Lord, help me to be developed by you. Because if prayer is not priority in your life, you'll be led by your desires. And we know what our desires are. It's like, I want it, I think it, and I feel it. Right? If we are, it's like, I want it, I feel it, and I desire it, it's like, this is what my flesh wants. So if you desire that, then it's like, am I really being led of the Spirit? And you realize that you're being led by your flesh. So prayer is important because it aligns us to the will of God, to His purposes, to His desires. The more you pray, the more you draw closer to the Lord, and He draws closer to you. And then verse 5 in Romans 7:5 says, let me go back. For when you were controlled, what kind of tense is that? For when you were controlled. Past tense. For when you were in the flesh. Right? And sometimes we live in the flesh as believers. Not all the time, but sometimes we do. The sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in your members to bear fruit to death. And what kind of fruit do we bear when we live in the flesh? So we go to Galatians 5:19. Galatians 5:19 says, "For when you..." Oh, who wants to read Galatians 5:19? Yeah, to 21. It's right up there, but.
Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness.
So coarse joking. So you know how sometimes we'll tell coarse jokes, right? Lewdness is coarse or inappropriate joking. We'll tell a dirty joke in about way, and that's the old nature. Sorry. Verse 20.
Adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
That's sobering.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law.
Yeah. Thank you. So we don't want to desire the things of the old, because we see what happens to that kind of fruit. If we see those things, that fruit happen in our lives, it's like, Lord, am I, I've kind of maybe slipped away. What's Colossians 3, 2 to 10? So I have so Colossians 3, verses 2 to 10. Yeah. Chapter 3, verses 2 to 10.
Set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil
covetousness.
Yeah, it's different in King James.
I know, King. This is New King James, sorry.
Okay. And covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him.
Amen. It's a lot there. Put on. You were once children of disobedience. You're no longer a child of disobedience when you come to know Christ as your Savior. You're saved from wrath. But by His mercy and grace, He desires you to change. In verse 7, or sorry, of Romans 7, 6 says, but now, by dying to once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve the new way of the Spirit, not in the old way of the written code. So we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were once held by, so now we can serve the newness of the Spirit and not the oldness of the letter. It reminds us that we do not live the new life, the new nature, in our own power. Don't live this life in our own power or in our own strength. We live this life by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, who resides in us, who lives in us, who is speaking to us, who is leading us. He knows what is how He wants you to live. He knows everything. He knows your very heart. He knows your struggles. He knows your pains. He knows what's going on. But yet sometimes we live in our own strength, and we don't want to listen to the Holy Spirit. Pride enters in. We said, I got this. I believe most times, or majority of times, we try to live the life as believers in the flesh. Because we know how to live life in the flesh. Because it's been so much easier to live life in the flesh. Because it's comfortable. It's satisfying at times. We don't like being put out there and being exposed or to be stretched or to grow into what Christ wants us to become. We have these struggles. Instead of the new way of allowing to surrender to the Holy Spirit, it's like, Lord, help me to surrender. The Holy Spirit enables us to surrender our lives to Christ. We'll finish in Galatians 3, 23 to 25. Galatians 3, 23 to 25 says, "But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law." So before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterwards be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. There comes liberty, freedom, to live the life that is surrendered to Christ. There is liberty and surrenderness. When we are under the headship of Christ, we are loving the Lord as His bride. There's freedom, liberty, abundance. We're satisfied. We don't want anything else. It isn't a miracle. It's God calling you. God wants you to trust Him. When you look back at your life as a believer, you can see how God's been working. You should be able to see the changes in your life. You should be able to see things that your His fruit is being more and more revealed in your life. You don't desire those other things that were captivating your life any longer. Right? We should be able to see these things. If we forget these things, perhaps we could say, Lord, thank you that you had delivered me from this struggle. Keep a journal of the goodness of the Lord. So Ephesians 4, 22 to 24, Ephesians 4, 22 to 24. So that you put off. To put off discerning your former conduct. So like, Lord, you revealed it. I'm going to surrender it to you. And I'm going to trust you, you're going to change my desires. As I abide in your word, apply what your word says, to be reading your word, because your word transforms our minds and our hearts. Right? It's not just like, Lord, I just give this to you and not do anything. Right? We could just say, Lord, I just surrender this to you and then go on my merry way. But we have to be in the word of God. We have to be praying. We have to say, Lord, I thank you for that revealing this in my life. And Lord, I'm going to surrender to you. And as I continue to abide by your word and apply what your word is, says to me, right? We have to be in the word of God. We can't just give it up and not do anything. But he changes you as you surrender to him and to apply his word and read his word. And not cherry-pick things in His Word. Right? So put off concerning your formal conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. We see that in our own lives. And being renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and in holiness. We were created for a purpose. God chose you even when you were separated from God. He was calling you even though you were an enemy of God. Jesus went to the cross to redeem you, mankind, to himself. To set you free from the power of sin. That sin would no longer have dominion over you. To bring us back in the right relationship with our Father. You know, all these undeserved gifts is a testament of God's attribute, his gift, his attributes of his character. It's important for all, always to, it's important for us to always reflect and understand without Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're helpless and lost. And as we read the word and we see how he wants us to live practically in his word, practically in his in everyday life, that he's transforming you to become the child that he's called you to be, the bride that he wants you to be, to live the life that he wants you to be living. And so, I don't know if this week, it's like, Lord, where am I living in my own strength? Ask him. Lord, where is the area of rebellion in my heart? We always remember, was it Psalms 139? It says, you know, search my heart, O Lord, reveal anything in my life that needs to be dealt with. Are we surrendering to the Holy Spirit? As we surrender to the Holy Spirit, he fans the flame, he renews us. Our lives become richer. And we have this love, right, for him. And our hearts won't go cold. And that we start desiring more of him. So, Father, we just thank you that your word really reveals where we're at with you. And Lord, I pray that as you continue to minister to each one of us, Lord, that we would surrender to you. Lord, where we're living in our own flesh, in our own strength, Lord, as we surrender that to you and repent of that, Lord, I pray that you give us a desire to read your word and to apply your word every day to our lives. And I pray that, Father, as we would spend time with you in prayer. Just have conversations with you every day and just share what our hearts, you already know what we're thinking, but I pray, Lord, that we would open up to you and draw from you to become in more aligned to what your word says. And so, Father, I just apply the blood of Christ over our minds. Pray, Lord, that you would lead us and guide us in all your truth. In Jesus' name. This is one song we're just going to end with. It's a gospel song. Yeah. Let me play.